Okay, good afternoon. It's 1:30, so we'll get going. Welcome to the Wednesday, August 27th, 2025, regular meeting of the Orange County Planning Commission. And we will start off with the Pledge of Allegiance. And Commissioner Cook, could you lead us in that?
Sure. All rise, please. Ready, begin. I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
All right, next we should take the roll here. Chairman Ha is not here. We expected him not to be here, so it's an excused absence, I guess we might say. He's, I think, maybe even as we speak, on a plane heading back to the country. So taking roll, Chairman Ha, First District, is not here. And as well as Commissioner Bartlett could not be here today. Commissioner Seha from the Second District.
Present.
And Commissioner Cruz from the Fourth District.
Here.
And I'm Kevin Rice, usually the Vice Chair this year from the Third District. Next, generally, there's no consent items because I think we lack a quorum as to the issue of the minutes from last month. So that is not on our agenda. So we will move right to item two on the agenda, discussion item number one. And we would have our Executive Officer, Mr. Kirk, introduce that for us.
Thank you, Vice Chair. This item is related to an updated traffic analysis for Fairmont Schools. The applicant is Chad Jackson, President of Fairmont Schools. It is located at 12421 and 12381 Newport Avenue, Santa Ana, located within the Second Supervisorial District. Staff will present an updated analysis and to meet a condition of approval for the originally approved use permit associated with this under planning application 23-0052. And Arturo Cervantes, who is our senior planner, will be presenting for staff.
Thank you, Mr. Kirk. Good afternoon, Vice Chair and Commissioners. Fairmont School operates a private school at 12421 Newport Avenue. They acquired an adjacent closed church facility at 12381 Newport Avenue with the goal of expanding their school programs and enrollment capacity. In December 2023, use permit PA23-0052 was approved by the County of Orange Planning Commission to allow for this expansion. This enabled the school to utilize a church for educational purposes. The approval also included an increase to the student enrollment capacity, on-site improvements, and a reduction in parking. As part of that approval, a condition was included that required the applicant to provide an informational update to the Planning Commission on traffic conditions. This update is to be provided at two milestones, at the one-year mark after their approval, and again after the school reaches their increased enrollment capacity. The traffic update provided to the Planning Commission and discussed today represents information gathered at the one-year milestone. The school was able to secure the original firm, RKE Engineering, to conduct the updated traffic analysis. As part of the process, which is outlined in the report, RKE Engineering established baseline conditions by obtaining 24-hour trip generation counts, drop-off and pick-up queuing counts, and parking demand counts during peak periods. In their analysis, they have determined that the trip generation counts are within the originally forecasted daily trips of 1,655 total. They indicated approximately 453 drop-offs and 372 pickup trips for a total of 1,264 daily trips based on the existing enrollment, which again is lower than the total. I think we have there's a misprint up here which says 453 total daily trips. It's actually 1,264 daily trips, which again is less than the 1,654 anticipated day trips based on the forecast. In their queuing observation, they found that the spillover onto Newport Avenue was minimal, with zero occurrences of vehicles overflowing onto Vanderlip Avenue. They also concluded that the onsite parking was adequate for the school's needs. Finally, they did observe 20 illegal U-turns at Newport and Vanderlip Avenue during their observations timeframe out there. This map here shows the locations where those where that data was gathered. And so based on the information collected, RKE Engineering has concluded that there are no significant traffic deficiencies that would require substantial improvements. They have made recommendations, and the school is in agreement to implement the following operations to ensure drop-off and pickups continue to remain efficient as student enrollment continues to grow. Number one, the school monitor drop-off and pickup routines as well as traffic flow on campus to ensure any backup onto Newport Avenue is minimal and that it rarely occurs on Vanderlip. If lines do happen to stretch into those streets, the school will make sure cars don't block regular traffic, including bikes and bike lanes. Number two, continuously monitor that the no U-turn signage remains installed and within view at the center island along Newport Avenue. And third, school staff shall periodically educate parents and students on proper drop-off and pick-up operations, as well as periodically monitor and report vehicles that are observed to violate these protocols. Now, it should be noted that there is a follow-up study that will be conducted once the school meets their capacity of 420 students. At that point, the school shall prepare a final updated parking and traffic analysis, again, as required by the conditions of approval. And once completed, that analysis will be presented to the Planning Commission at a regularly scheduled meeting in the future. This informational session today was sent out to the neighbors in the community. There were notices mailed to property owners within 300 feet of the property 10 days prior to this presentation. Staff recommends that the Planning Commission receive and file this report as appropriate. This does conclude staff's presentation. The county traffic engineer, the applicant, and his team of engineers is here for any questions that you may have.
All right, thank you very much. Does anybody have any questions for our presenter here? At this time? All right, I would note on number three that they're to periodically monitor and report vehicles. I don't expect that they're going to report their own people, but I guess they could if they needed that as a resource to make somebody comply. But I really don't expect them to do that. So I wouldn't think that I wouldn't want them to think that we're sitting here thinking that. At this point, we don't have a public hearing on this today. However, if any of the anybody else wants to speak, wants to give us input on this, I would invite that at this time. If any of the parties that are involved, if they want to speak, just come on up. Any member of the public, I guess you could just come up
because yes. It's a discussion.
This is informal. Yeah, thank you.
It's a discussion.
This is a discussion. And sir, would you like to? I saw a hand. Come on up.
Yeah. And if I may, as speakers complete their comments, if they could please fill out a speaker slip for our purposes of meeting minutes and tracking, it would be appreciated.
And if there are any speakers who are wanting to speak on item number two, if you can fill out a speaker card now, we just neglected to announce this at the beginning of the meeting, fill out a speaker card for item number two and turn it in to Justin here.
All right, sir, if you want to identify yourself in any means, go ahead and let us hear what you have to say.
Cameron Lake, Santa Ana.
All right.
I don't know what this hearing's about, if it's about what they're doing, the parking, all this stuff, but like last year when you had the hearing for the property upgrade, they were putting signs on the corner of the street saying to the home or to the parents, no park or no U-turns and do this, do that. Those signs aren't there this year. I use that street quite frequently. And what I'm seeing is that there is a problem with the traffic at certain hours. Like if you're between 9:30 and 2:30, it's good. Between 7:30 and 9:30, it's bad. Between 2:30 and 3:30, it's bad. That's when people are going to work and people are coming home. I have seen cars going straight past Vanderlip in front of the office buildings over there making U-turns. I actually seen a guy make a U-turn in front of another car making a U-turn, cutting him off. When I make a ride onto Vanderlip or onto Newport, the people at the island making U-turns or making a left, some will make a U-turn right there, some will make a U-turn right there, over here a little bit, and a little bit further, and a little bit farther. I seen four cars do it at one time. If that's a problem, I don't know. To me, it's a problem. To Fairmont, it doesn't matter because they don't care about the people. They care about the students bringing in the money. I know that. Then I live off of Cameron, one street past Newport, off of Vanderbilt. Cars make U-turns on my intersection now, and they go down my street to make U-turns. I've seen it. I saw it last night when they had this function where they're parking on my street and on Vanderlip and on the other streets. And is it a problem to them? No, because they don't care about the residents. They only care about themselves. I think that our streets from, let's say, the house, the residential streets and from the Delbeck's house this way should be permitted parking only, not let them park on our streets and do this stuff. I've seen cars doing all this stuff just in that 1 hour or this hour and a half period of time. They said, oh, we're gonna monitor the parking, or no, the drop off, this and this. I haven't seen it. I've been there since 1992. And when we were there, when it was Edgewood, they told us that they can't have anybody on the property after 6. I don't know if that ever changed, but they have people there after 6. But of course, again, they don't care about the residents, they only care about themselves. What really ticks me off is that they have this nice big parking lot. It's fenced off, so nobody can go in there. During the off hours, when it's not the parking, they shut the gates on both ends, on Newport and Vanderlip. So I've seen cars go into the parking like, oh, the gate's shut, I have to turn around and go that way. Or they know that the gate's shut, so they make U-turns where they're not supposed to. Why? Because they don't care. Before they had the gates up, people would turn into the parking lot of the church, when it was a church, and still go around the back way. They are limiting what their parents can do. So when the parents do this stuff, the illegal stuff, and it's not all the parents, it's just the several of them, a few of them, maybe like 20 or 30. What message are they giving to their kids? It's okay to make U-turns and disobey the law? And is it the Fairmont school saying, oh yeah, parents, go ahead, do what you gotta do. Just get your kids here. I don't know what their message is to this, and I don't know what their message is to anybody else. Because like to me, when I call the school and complain about other things other than the parking, they don't care. But we're not here on other issues. We're here about the parking and the street traffic, which is only bad, like I said, during a certain hour of time. And if they have guys out there monitoring the traffic, when are they doing it? Are they doing it during the busy hours between 7:30 and 9:30? Or are they doing it between 9:30 and 2 when there's nobody right there?
Well, they might want to respond to you. So yeah. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Okay.
Thank you, sir. And we will give them an opportunity to respond. First, go ahead, Ed. You might be able to answer the question. In the recommended actions, it noted that the no U-turn signage is to be up there. And I'm not sure, are we talking about regular official road signs? Are we talking about, I think there was like unofficial signs that the school put up larger signs, I remember, because I drive by there every day, twice a day usually. And I think you maybe had larger signs. And go ahead, please remind us of who you are.
My name is Chad Jackson, and I'm the applicant. I represent the owner and also the school. Yes, we previously had some, speaking of the sign issue, we had some portable signs that we would bring out and take back and forth. Unfortunately, during the construction on the church site, those went missing, and we lost them. So there was a period of time where those signs were not out. As of, I think it was Tuesday of this week, yesterday or the day before, we did get another sign, a replacement sign. So if the gentleman were to look right now or this afternoon, you'd see there's a sign, a very prominent sign right on the corner there that says, "No U-turn on Vanderlip." Hopefully, it'll be very clear to people. And also, as far as the messaging that goes from the school to the parents, we send regular messages in newsletters and in any kind of documentation we send to the families. We include very clearly instructions on what they should be doing, how to drop their kids off and pick them up and so forth, traffic flow and what not to do, including not making U-turns on Vanderlip or U-turns on Newport Avenue or blocking traffic on Newport Avenue. So we have been very diligent about doing that. Of course, these are private citizens. Sometimes they listen and sometimes they don't listen and sometimes they forget, and we need to remind them again and again. So we do that as often as possible. It creates problems for us as well. It's not just for the local neighbors, and we want to be good neighbors. We've been there since 1998, and I feel like I personally have walked around and knocked on the doors on most of the neighboring streets and had conversations with people. And so I don't think if we didn't care, I don't think we would do that personally. We would probably have somebody else do it. So we also, as far as parts of the conditions of approval, there were some requirements to provide information on our plans for parking and for traffic relative to special events and so forth. So we have all those things completed, and I'm not sure if those have been provided. I have copies here, and I can of course send digital copies as well that we can give you. Anyway, are there any questions?
Go ahead.
How's your father?
He's doing great. Thanks for asking.
This isn't testimony or anything, but 25 years ago when I was on the Adam Commission, we had your Broadway property in front of us a number of times.
Yeah.
And the La Palma property. Germane to this discussion, I always found that you guys were very sensitive about neighbors. And so
yes.
I assume that hasn't changed.
No.
Yeah.
Yeah, we are. We want to be good neighbors. Contrary to apparently the opinions of some, it's for us, it's not about the money. It's about the kids. It's about our reputation. It's about educating children. If it's about money, you don't want to get into the private school business. There are other businesses that make a lot more money than private school does.
Well, I mean, even though this isn't a public hearing, it's maybe beneficial that this gentleman spoke with such passion, because it's always good to know how people are feeling.
Of course.
If that's a large sentiment or not, we don't know. But, I hope that you guys listen and then just be vigilant.
Absolutely.
Any questions?
No questions right now.
Okay. All right. Anything else? Alfred, Dennis Bilodeau.
Mr. Chairman, my name is Dennis Bilodeau. I serve as the county traffic engineer. I wanted to let you know that I am in receipt of the RK Engineering Group monitoring study. We reviewed it, and we agree with its findings. We're particularly sensitive to cars backing up onto the public street. I should tell you as well that the traffic signal at Newport Boulevard and La Colina has a signalized intersection there, and I have a camera that can zoom 360 degrees. It's high resolution, and it's in our traffic management center next door, and so I can watch Newport Boulevard in real time, And we do that periodically in the morning and the afternoon to make sure that we're not observing anything that that causes us concern in terms of backing up onto Newport Boulevard because of the speeds. And we've not observed anything in terms of the cars backing up onto Newport. So far, so good. They are on the hook to provide another study once they reach 420 enrolled students, and so that will be coming in the future. And that's my report.
And just to confirm the follow-up from a year and a half ago, it was? All right, a year and a half ago, I think I asked questions about how the road was, the lines were painted and everything, and did staff look at that, and you believe that, and I don't know the technical language, but the lines are all in the best possible locations for this situation?
Yes, we did look at, and I know you're talking about, speaking of Newport and Vanderlip there, we did go out and look at it, and we determined that it's per the MUTCD, and we feel it's the most appropriate striping that we have at the moment.
Thank you. Commissioners, any questions? Bill? No?
And you're always welcome to come see our traffic management center across the way. I can show you the camera.
Well, I didn't know. I'll wait this afternoon when I drive by.
Thank you.
And I will say, when I drove by this morning, it was certainly busy, but I didn't see it being anything unreasonable. I live farther up, off of Crawford Canyon, and if you go down Crawford Canyon, you know you'll run into a public school, and that's only like two lanes each way. So if you go at the wrong time there, which I do, like once every couple of years, I don't know why, I forget, maybe it's my age, and I'll be driving, and it's like, why did I go this way? And there's nowhere to go. I think I'm forced into an illegal U-turn to go the other way. So at least at Newport, we've got some lanes to work with, and so that's a good thing. Do we have anybody else who would like to speak on this?
Could I make a request? Like his buses go down Vanderlip every single morning, like at 7:30. Why can't they just go on 17th Street to Newport and then go to their school instead of going on Vanderlip? I mean, it's like, it's a big bus.
All right. Well, I think you heard that, and maybe they'll give that consideration. I don't think that's before us today, but thank you. Anything else that would be appropriate on this? Mr. Kirk?
No, sir.
All right. So, any last questions or comments by the commissioners? No? All right. And as stated before, there's no actual actions today. There's no motions, no voting. You're just to receive and file the staff report as appropriate. We also got some extra information and comments, so we do appreciate that. But as far as I know, without objection from anybody, we're going to close off item number one. Gone? All right. Item number one is concluded, and we'll move on to item number two. Mr. Kirk, do you wish to introduce that?
Yes, of course. Item number two is a site development permit and variance application, planning application 0040. The applicant is Mr. John Reed, who is also the property owner. The location is located at 30122 Canyon Creek, Tribuco Canyon, otherwise legally referred to as Assessor Parcel Number 8560412, located within the 3rd Supervisorial District. The applicant is requesting a site development permit to permit an unpermitted existing single-family residence of 1,618 square feet with an attached 1,478 square foot three-car garage and 677 square foot balcony, and for a proposed future addition of 3,723 square feet foot to the unpermitted residence. The applicant is also seeking a variance to allow for 3,740 cubic yards of unpermitted grading activity that has occurred on the property, where 3,000 square cubic yards is the allowable grading threshold, and a vertical change in grade up to 16 feet from the natural grade, where a vertical change in grade of no greater than 10 feet from the natural grade is allowed. I will note this item has been previously presented to the Planning Commission and was approved. Unfortunately, during the permitting process, there was some issues with the life of the entitlement and thus necessitating coming back to reapprove the project before the permits can be issued. And with that, Eileen Lundfeld, who is our associate planner within our current planning division, will be presenting this staff report.
Good afternoon, members of the Planning Commission. I'll be presenting PA 24-0040, which is for site development and pairing units. So this is the site today. The project is located at 30122 Canyon Creek in Foothill Tribuca. The zoning is Foothill Tribuca specific plan. And as you can see, currently there is unpermitted development on there, which consists of a single family home and an accessory dwelling unit. There was a previously approved, as mentioned by the deputy director, for a site development and variance for this specific project. So what's coming to you today is actually for a site development permit as per the Foothill Tribuca specific plan. Any development within the specific plan requires a site development permit to the Planning Commission for our ultimate approval. So today it will be to permit an unpermitted existing single family residence with an attached three car garage. And at this time, they're also proposing his future addition. That way he doesn't have to come back for that addition. In addition to that, the planning application is for two variances. One, which is an unpermitted grading activities of more than 3,000 cubic yards, and also a vertical change to the grade that's greater than 10 feet from natural grade. All of these are actually development standards under the Foothill Tribuca specific plan. I wanted to also note that the ADU, the accessory dwelling unit, also known as an ADU, is no longer part of this application to comply with AB 2533, which allows for a ministerial process for all ADUs constructed before January 2020. So if you guys all looked at the previous approval of PA 150032, you'll see that we were also allowing for the permit for the ADU. That's no longer no longer part of this application because per AB, the new bill. So these are the development standards set forth by the Foothill Tribuca specific plan. Under the specific plan, this property is located in the Tribuca Canyon Residential District. The proposed project, for the most part, does meet or exceeds the development standards of the specific plan requirements. The two variance requests that we have is one was as grading over 3,000 cubic yards on the building site, and two is a cut or fill slope exceeding 10 vertical feet. The grading plan identifies 3,740 cubic yards of cut and 60 cubic yards of fill and a maximum vertical cut of 16 feet. The reason I'm showing you the historical aerials here, as you can see in 1970 and 1978, when you can see that there was grading activity done during this time. So the Foothill Tribuca specific plan was actually adopted in 1991. So had they had gotten permits back in the 70s, we would have allowed for more than 3,000 cubic yards of grading. But because of the specific plan, that actually now limits to 3,000 cubic yards per building site. Continuing on. So in addition to that, because of the steep topography of the project site, you can see that they're below the street. So if you look at the grading cut section, you really go down to actually access the driveway into the house. So really there, because of this really unique topography, you have to have more than 10 feet of cut to be able to build a house down there. So under section 79-126 for variances to be granted, the approving authority is required to make additional findings. One, which is special circumstances exists such that when applicable zoning regulations are strictly applied to the subject building site, it deprives the subject building site of privileges enjoyed by other properties in the vicinity. Two, granting of the variance will not confer a special privilege to the building site. So the proposed project here is a single-family residence. Single-family residents are allowed with the site development permit. And so there isn't a specific, there isn't a special circumstance. We find that there isn't a special circumstance because if they were going by, if these were actually permitted grading, then if the grading was permitted back in the 70s, then they would actually have graded less than 3,000 square feet for the building of this home. And additionally, again, the steep topography of the site really can lead you to need more than 10 feet of cut. Staff does recommend the three actions as written in the staff report. This concludes my presentation and I'm available to answer any questions. The owner is also here to answer any questions and so is his architect.
All right, thank you very much. Commissioners, any questions or concerning the report? Does the applicant wish to speak on this? Or?
Yes, before we receive testimony, if we could open the public hearing.
Okay, we will do that. Public hearing is now open. Thank you. And so we'll go back to, does anybody here wish to speak on this? I don't see anybody. Commissioners, any questions for the applicant or anybody else?
Clarification. So this was previously approved in 2017?
That's correct.
And has it changed since that action, the application?
No, the application mirrors the exact application that was previously approved. Just with the approvals having a limited term and not vesting through the permitting process, it expired, and so to enable the permitting process to continue, the approvals of the original project needs to be reinvigorated.
And the specific plan or the zoning code hasn't changed since then?
The zoning code has, but not to the degree that would have affected the approval of this project, so they did not create any new conditions necessary. The Foothill Tribuco specific plan has not been revised, which would largely be the zoning regulations in place. Where it would fall silent, our zoning code would fill in those gaps, but those changes did not materially affect the consideration and recommendation.
And also, just to be clear, this is an existing condition except for the addition that is contemplated. So the grading exists, the house exists. Sure. This is a code enforcement case. This is how we rectify code enforcement cases by asking the applicant to
make everything legal.
Yes, make everything legal. Make it legal, bring an application, make it legal. So it's unfortunate it expired prior to them vesting, which in this case is a little odd, but yeah.
I mean, just as an editorial, Mr. Chairman, you know, whether or not I would have issues with the variance request 8 years ago, is less important to me than if anything's changed, because if the commission acted then and found findings, I mean, I don't see any reason to question the previous action if there's no changed circumstances.
All right, thank you. Any other questions? I don't think I have a either, since I think it, the staff report, I think, covered it all. And so with that, if there's no further questions, I'll close the public hearing. Anybody last called? No, I don't see anybody. Okay. Public hearing is closed. And we'll move on to addressing the recommended actions. And
Mr. Chairman, I'll offer a motion to approve the language reflected in items 2 and 3 of the these recommended actions. So I don't have to reread the whole thing.
Now that's appropriate. So we have a motion.
I'll second.
And we have a second. All those in favor say aye.
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 I think I heard 3 ayes. And that's it. So the recommended action is approved. And I think that finishes item number 2. All right, thank you. Executive officer update. Kirk, anything?
Thank you, Vice Chair. Just a quick update on our next meeting. We will be having a meeting in the first meeting in September to review the battery energy storage system ordinance. That process is culminated in a number of meetings with considerate parties, as well as working through the state and their draft ordinance that they're proposing. That would be a recommended action to our Board of Supervisors, which we were planning for in the first meeting in November, with the effective date coinciding, or the effective date occurring before the expiration of the moratorium process itself. So that is moving forward. We do not anticipate, I believe, a second meeting in September, but in October we are anticipating at least one meeting.
All right. Thank you very much. County Council update. Ms. Walsh?
Yes, briefly on the Branch Hills matter, the opposition has taken an appeal, the Court of Appeals, so we'll be addressing the Housing Accountability Act in an appeal. It'll probably take 1 to 2 years to get through an appellate process because there is no applicable expedited review of Housing Accountability Act case. And that's all I have.
Okay, thank you. Then we'll move to planning commission comments. Any comments on items that are not on our agenda?
Justin, is any juicy coming before the commission anytime soon?
No.
No hair on fire stuff?
No.
No
Ranch Hills. No. Well, I was going to make a more direct comment. We don't have much going on in the 3rd District, which is typically our more vocal communities. And there's a lot of work being done in R&B areas, which is pretty straightforward and master plans. Sorry. You get no excitement through the rest of the year.
Okay, all right.
All right.
Thank you.
That's all I have.
All right. Should say anything? No.
Just like I always do, I'm just thanking staff for all their hard work. I know it's not easy. So thank you.
Very good. Moving on, number 6, public comments. Any public comments on items not on our agenda? No? I don't see anything. So we'll move on to, we are expecting a meeting the first week of September. So we'll look forward to that. And until then, we are adjourned.
Hey, real quick, if you run into any quorum issues, just call me. I'll be landing at like 9 o'clock that morning. I'll throw a business trip. I should be here, but
we've already gotten confirmation from four commissioners that they can't make the meeting.
All right, great.
Thank you.